So I opened this text up and I was like, wow, there's a lot. So let's look at Matthew chapter 10. We're talking about Radical Jesus. Radical Jesus sermon series, and this is sermon number 3. I threw Dave's in there as number 2 because he was kind of radical last week, so I just threw his in there. But let's stand and look at Matthew chapter 10. Let's read verses 34 through 42. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 42, and very interesting scriptures this morning. Amen. Amen. Jesus, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Thank you, Jesus, for the precious word of God. Written in all red, if you have a King James Bible, those are the words of Jesus Christ to his disciples. Thank you, Father God, for the word of God. Thank you for the servants of God that you've sent to this church. Thank you for the ministers of God that you've sent to this church. Thank you for this church. We have a place where we can come in and worship you and praise you and sing praises to your name. Thank you, Father God, for all that you've added. We ask that you would just continue to add. Let the word of God today, Father God, be a blessing to someone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The gospel sword of peace. That almost don't sound right, do it? The gospel sword of peace. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's commissioned them. He's sent them out. And he has warned them throughout chapter 10 of Matthew of trouble. It's coming to the preacher. Trouble that's coming to anyone who would stand and testify of the goodness of God and the holiness and purity of his word. Jesus said, you got trouble. You got trouble coming your way. Amen. We don't like trouble. We like smooth sailing. We don't do good in rough water. My uncle used to say that's the only time the crappies in the white bass at Mosquito Lake would bite was when the water was choppy. I never found out. I never really did good at Mosquito Lake. Choppy water or calm. But when we look at this text and we look at verse 21, and it says, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Verse 25, he says, then it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? How many here are of the household of God? You are. You got something coming your way. You ought to felt it this week. Look at verse 28. He's preparing his ministers for what to expect. For what to expect when you go out and preach God's word. And I don't mean sugarcoat it and compromise it. I mean preach it.
Amen.
Preach it.
Yes, sir.
Read it and explain it. He says this, and fear not them that will kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul.
Amen.
But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. God is to be feared.
Amen.
That word fear means reverenced.
Amen.
We need to know that he's watching his church. He's running his church.
Amen.
I'm going to be held accountable.
Amen.
God's going to question me.
Yes, sir.
On my preaching.
Yes.
He's going to question me on my living.
Amen.
He's going to question me whether I honor my mother and father or my father and mother.
Uh-huh.
He's going to question me on how I love my wife and children.
Yes, sir.
He's going to question me on how I live for him. He's going to question my testimony on my job and in my neighborhood and in the community. Because he's just that kind of God. Jesus is giving out the greatest commission there is to these ministers of the gospel. But he's letting them know, not like Satan. He's letting them know up front, this is not child's play. We got too many folks thinking the preaching the gospel is fun. Serious business, and Jesus is letting us know this is serious business.
Amen.
Sunday school teachers, I plan on having a Sunday school workshop in February. Sunday school teachers going to be held accountable. The Bible said, let not many of you be teachers. It's a serious business.
Amen.
Look at verse number 34. And then this is a very interesting text. And I'm almost certain I won't get to verse 42, but we're going to bite off as much as we can. But look at verse 34. Because at this time in Jesus Christ's ministry, the Jews were under Roman occupation.
Mm-hmm.
They were being controlled by the Romans. They had to pay triple and quadruple the taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if a Roman soldier seen a Jew, mm-hmm. that Roman soldier could have that Jew immediately, no matter what that Jew was doing. Pick up his bag, pick up the Roman bag, the Jew, and carry it 1 mile. Jesus came with a radical saying and said, well, if he asks you to carry one, take it two.
Amen.
That's radical. That's radical. Everybody know what radical means?
Okay.
Radical, militant, combative, revolutionary. That's what Jesus was.
Uh-huh.
Some people say, well, you know, he was milquetoast, he was soft, No, he was radical. He was militant. This is a radical saying right here in verse 34. Because folks didn't want to hear it. They wanted a ruler to come in and overthrow Rome and put them in charge.
Amen.
When Jesus came talking about peace with God, they didn't want to hear it. World don't want to hear it today.
Amen.
We don't want to hear it today. We want to hear about prosperity.
Uh-huh.
We want to hear about get this economy charged up so everybody can be working again and get these factories running. Get these auto plants running full capacity so we can eat, drink, and be merry. That's what we're looking for. And when Jesus said that, he came to bring peace with God. They give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas.
We weren't looking for this. We want a warrior. Jesus died for Barabbas. He took Barabbas' place. And if you say today, you're Barabbas. You're Barabbas. And you ought to be thrilled. He says, think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. Let's stop right there. God's people ought to be thinking people. We ought to think. When I was almost done studying this, I went back over to read it, and that word think just jumped out at me. What's the word think mean? To consider these things. To consider something very carefully. To take heed of it. Really pay attention to what he's about to say. This is serious, what Jesus is about to say. He says, think not that I come to send peace on earth. Now somebody said, that's contrary to Jesus' teaching. If we don't know, we would think there's a problem with that. Based on certain scriptures that we look at, Isaiah 9 and 6. We know, and we like to decorate our houses, and we like to have Christmas parties and different things, because it's supposedly a time of peace. Isaiah said this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Those texts alone would think, Jesus came to bring peace. Amen. A wonderful person. He's going to be wonderful. He's going to be a counselor. He's going to guide us and direct us. We ought to expect peace. Jesus, I didn't come to bring peace. That's radical. Look at Luke chapter 2. Some of you just went over this in Sunday school. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. What do you mean, Jesus, you didn't come to bring peace? Sound like a peaceful scripture there. What kind of peace is Jesus talking about? He's talking about a personal peace. A personal peace that you will only find in a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. The world's peace is transient. Uh-huh. It's moving all the time. It's changing from day to day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The peace of this world is not the peace that you need. Many of us are looking for world peace. We have peace treaties. Mm-hmm. And we go over to the Middle East. Every president goes over to the Middle East and they got a peace treaty and a peace pact. Well, I'm here to tell you, there will be no peace in the Middle East. There will be no peace in America. There will be no peace in your homes unless you have personal peace that comes with a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. So if you're battling, and if you're having problems, and you're having issues with folks, your issue isn't with folks. The Word of God says our battle is not with flesh and blood.
Uh-huh.
Battle with Satan. We're looking for someone to work through. How do I get this peace? I was telling you about Jackie and how she told me that at the calling hours. She said, I'll see you in church Sunday. How do I get that peace? Look at Colossians 3:15. God gives you peace in the good times, in the bad times. Colossians 3:15 says this about peace. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart." Let the peace of God rule in your heart. See, you can't have peace. You get two fighters until there's a victor. Until one submit, there won't be no peace. There has to be a submission before you can have peace. And if you run in things, and if you're in control, you won't have peace with God. The rich young ruler, someone mentioned it, I believe Jake, when he was praying. The rich young ruler did not want to abide by God's rules. The rich fool didn't want to abide by God's rules. And most of us that are self-made, we're not going to give up. We're going to fight God all the way to the finish. And you're going to lose that fight. You're going to lose that fight. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Submit to God. Submit to God. How do I get that? How do I let the Lord rule in my heart? Here's how. Verse 16 of Colossians 3. "Let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." We heard a little bit of that this morning. Singing psalms and hymns. Does God rule in your heart?
Yes, sir.
Does God rule in your heart? Here's some scriptures on peace. I left 10 of them out on the table, so you might not want to take all the notes, but these are good principles for peace with God. And I was talking to Lori, and she left, and we talked about folks that are committing suicide. All over this country, folks are committing suicide at an alarming rate. God is not the author of confusion. God is not. He is a God of peace. And without Him, you're going to be troubled. John 16:33. You want to get these eight principles, maybe nine principles. I may not get through them all, but we're going to talk about the man of peace. You have to understand that God is a man. He is a man of peace. Look what John 16:33 says. It says this: "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That word "might" there is not the might we might think of in our society. That word "might" is the Greek word echo, which means to receive, to embrace, to handle and hold. This is with you. So when he says, "In me, that you might have peace," that word "might" means you will have it. And it's yours to keep. It's yours to keep. But one thing he said, you will have without him. You will have tribulations. You will have it. Some folks know what I'm talking about. I know I have experienced my own share of them. Walking through the hospitals in the pain and suffering. And then I have to listen to these folks who say they still have the gift of healing. That caused me problems.
Amen.
That caused me problems. Because I like to bring them here.
Yes.
And then when we leave here, I like to take them to St. E's and Boardman Inn, St. E's down in Youngstown.
Uh-huh.
And then we stop by a nursing home and the Eastern Seal Center.
All right.
Understanding what God has done for us by dying on Calvary's cross. Understanding what God has done for us. Colossians 1:20 says like this. And the question you have to understand, do you understand the blood? Do you understand what Christ did by shedding his blood? Colossians 1:20 says, "And having made peace through the
blood of the cross. By him to do what? To reconcile all things unto himself. God died on Calvary's cross to reconcile man to him. To bring him back, absolutely. To bring him back. Another principle of peace is to be justified. Justified. Just blameless. When you stand before God, because you have been justified, because you understand the blood of the cross, you can stand before the Lord and point to Jesus. You can point to Jesus. Romans 5:1 says it like this. And being, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus. Through what Christ has done on Calvary. So if you don't have peace, check yourself. Make sure you justify. Make sure you understand what God has done. Get an understanding. Now, I can sit up here and run all around and spin all around, but you won't leave here knowing anything.
Amen.
The word of God says our people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. Our people perish. And I'm not talking about black people or white people. I'm talking about the people of God. So-called people of God are perishing because they're not hearing the truth. They're not hearing it. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. The word of God. Galatians 1 and 3. Trusting God. Having unquestioning faith. Having a faith that you don't have to question God. There's a whole lot of Christians questioning God. Really, did he die on the cross? Did he rise from the grave? Is he sitting on the right hand of God? Was he born of a virgin? Well, let me tell you something. If you got a problem in any of those four areas, those are foundational. If you got a problem in any of those four areas, well, I don't know if he died on the cross. Well, I don't know if he was born of a virgin. Well, I don't know if he was resurrected. Well, I don't know where he's at right now. Well, listen, there's a real good chance.
Amen.
You're not justified. Amen. You don't know the Lord. And there's a whole lot of folks out there preaching that don't believe in the resurrection. And there's a whole lot of folks preaching that don't believe in the virgin birth. And there's a whole lot of Sunday school teachers teaching that don't believe that Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah.
And why do people sit under those type of ministries?
Amen.
Because our people perish for lack of knowledge. And Satan has his ministers who transform themselves into angels of light. They make it sound real good. Well, we don't teach on that because that may upset someone. Listen, the moment the preacher says he don't want to upset you with the message, and you need to run out the door.
Amen.
Because it's an upsetting message. It's a bloody message. About the resurrection. Hebrews 13 and 20. Resurrection power. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews puts it like this. Now the God of peace. I like that. He's the God of peace. Now he's not the God of peace if you don't know him personally. But the God of peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. That great shepherd of the sheep. How? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Somebody was singing this morning about eternal praise. Praising God eternally. Listen, you can't praise him down here. If you can't praise him down here, you're not going to praise him in heaven. If you don't like singing and raising your hands and doing for the Lord down here, you're not going to want to do it in heaven. Why would you even want to go?
Amen.
Dave said it last week, what you all dressed up for? What you here for? If you don't want to praise him. Because if you can't praise him here, you're not going to praise him up in heaven.
Amen.
So when I ask someone to pray or read the scripture or come up and do the responsive reading, you can tell a lot by how they get up. How do you get this peace? 1 and 2. I'm at number 5. Through knowledge. Look at Peter says this. And Peter always didn't have this kind of faith. Peter struggled with his faith. Peter's faith was so weak that a little peasant girl chased him off. Little peasant girl said, you've been with Jesus. And Peter said, oh no, not me. And then he ran to another fire. And she followed and said, no. You've been with Jesus. Your speech. Peter learned his lesson. Look at Peter now. Look at Peter now. Bold and strong. Courageous. So when you come to the Lord, you become bold and strong and courageous.
Amen.
You can face some stuff. You can face some stuff. Some of y'all going through. I sit here and stand, and that's why I brought up Jackie, and I know Teddy. She knows she's going through. You can nail going through. My father wanna be here. He's sick. He's sick. I'd be sicker than anybody in here. But you know what? He know what he's going through. I said, Dad, you know what you're facing, right? He said, I know what I'm facing. And you're just as pleasant as can be. Feed a tube in his side, fishing coming out of his stomach. 166 pounds. I remember my father being big, strapped. 6'2", 250, 260, strong man. And I look at him, I just smile. I go over and sit with him, 166 pounds. But never know you're sick.
Amen.
How you doing, man? Doing good. I was getting coached. Yeah. But he came to the Lord at 80 years old and he sat under the preached word of God and he heard the word of God and he understands. He understands. And Peter says this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How, Peter? Through the knowledge of God. Through the knowledge of God. If the word of God isn't being preached, you can't grow. You can't grow. The man preached a sermon just yesterday. He called it the circus-driven church. The circus-driven church. He said most of these churches represent circus. You got clowns and folk running around, and it's all about entertaining the folks and making everybody happy. This is not a happy message.
Amen.
And I know some of y'all say, like, you know, he never preached a happy message. I'm looking for a happy message. But this is happy to me. Peace is happening. Learning about God and getting knowledge of God that's happy for the man of God.
Amen.
For the woman of God.
Indeed.
That's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
I believe that's what God sent me here for.
Amen.
That's what we need. Sunday school teachers and Bible study teachers and preachers that are powerful in the scriptures and unashamed. Unashamed. How we get this peace with God? Here's one. Should probably be higher, but it's number 6, 5. Prayerfulness. Prayerfulness. Write this one down. Philippians 4:6-7. Y'all know it. Be careful for nothing. Don't be sitting about. Don't be worrying about everything. Listen, if you're worrying, don't pray. And if you're praying, don't worry. I know it's easier said than done. I'm not feeling bad today. Well, let me see how you handle it when your day coming. I know it's coming.
Amen.
My mother used to say all the time, everybody get a turn on the wheel. And I look at where I watch Wheel of Fortune, sometimes they spin that dial, spin that wheel. I don't know, my number's up. And I'm getting ready now. See, we need to be proactive as we prepare for that evil day. Because the word of God says that evil day is coming. It's coming. But Paul says this in Philippians to this wonderful church. Now this is the church Paul praised, because Philippian church is a wonderful church. And as he's closing out his discourse with this church, and he has nothing really bad to say about this church other than the two ladies that were bickering. And he told them both of y'all names on the heaven's road. So y'all mama will kill that. But he's talking to a wonderful church, a church that was a loving church. That he had, if you read Philippians, he had nothing bad to say about the Philippian church. But watch this. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Huh.
That's enough. Well, he finished it off in verse number 7. And the peace of God. A prayerful person and will be a peaceful person. He said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Lord, you lost a loved one. You lost a friend. You got they're sick. Your prayers are always better. Your prayer life is always better. When you have adversity.
Amen.
God knows what you're going through. And you pray. And you pray. God, give me strength. Give me strength to be strong. Because we all going through. Y'all be praying, folks. Brother Dave, your mother's in the hospital. You love your mother. Can't wait to get out of church and go see her. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. Deacon Nell, be prayerful. Give me strength to hold out. How we get this power? Still in Philippians 4. Watch this. We want this peace with God. Through obedience. Through obedience. Almost. Say, where'd that come from? To know and not do. There's a whole lot of folks knowing what to do but don't do. That's not obedience. That's disobedience.
Amen.
Paul says this, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. Why? Why, Paul? Because you want peace. Do. And the peace of God, and the God of peace, shall be with you. You want God's peace with you? Be obedient to God's word. Be obedient to God's word. Psalms 119 and 65. You want to have peace? I like this one. He never loved the psalms. I say psalms, he always likes us. I always try to find a psalm. But watch this. By loving God's word, you find peace. By loving God's word, ask yourself, do I love God's word? Do I love God's word? Look at this. Look at this. Look at Dick David here. He said, great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's a good word. Listen. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you love God's word? How's your spiritual diet? How's your spiritual diet? Enough roughage. You get enough roughage. Eat enough carbs. You eat the right amount of carbs. You're getting your carbohydrates. You get your antitoxins and all that. Galatians 5:22 talks about a spiritual diet. It says one, and he talks about the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace with God. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Men and women of God ought to have those fruits. We ought to have those fruits. How did you do on that? Those 9 peace principles, I can call them. Look at verse 34 again. Look at verse 34 one more time. He said, think not that I've come to send peace. I came not to send peace. That's interesting, isn't it? That's kind of radical. What do you do with a sword? You cut. I put this together. You know, God gives me all these illustrations. This one comes, you know, little town in Bristol, Ohio. Just up the road. Outside of Warren, Bristol. Nothing ever happened there. I think they got a golf course up there. I used to golf and I know about Bristol. Nice little quiet town. Two guys at a bar. Let me give you some advice.
if somebody pull a knife on you? Run. You don't outfight a knife. He pulled out a sword and cut the man and pierced the man and killed the man. See, that's what a sword is used for. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. What kind of sword is he talking about? See, Peter didn't understand this in Matthew 26 and 52. They came to arrest Jesus. They came to arrest Jesus because and Peter was trying to defend his friend, his friend that he loved so dearly. And the Bible says he pulled out his sword. And Jesus said unto him, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Whoa. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword. All that take the sword shall perish by the sword. So we know Jesus is talking about a literal knife here. Ephesians 6 and 17. He's talking about the word of God. When he's giving the armor out, and those of you that have been here a while, we went through the book of Ephesians, and when he got to the end, he started handing out equipment. He said, take the helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6, 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Which is the Word of God. It is important that we have the Word of God in our arsenal as Christians. Because it's the only weapon that he gives us. It's the only weapon that we have is the Word of God. And it's called a sword. And when you pull it out, it's going to cause problems. If you pull it out, it's going to cause problems. You're going to have problems. The Bible says you're going to have problems in your family. You're going to have problems in your home. Some of us understand that a whole lot better now. The Word of God says you pull out this sword and you start cutting stuff. You start cutting stuff. Hebrews puts it like this. I like this one here, Hebrews 4 and 12. And we're familiar with Hebrews 4 and 12. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the Word of God and what it's able to do. And we have to be careful with it. So I have to keep Jake and Dave toned down because they can get a little wild with their weapons. They like cutting stuff. Jake say amen. Listen. Hebrews 4 and 12. Here's what you have when you know how to handle your weapon. Here you go. When you guys know that I work at the prison, and some of us have worked in the prisons. I know Anthony and Warden Roy. Shanks was always a big problem. Shanks always a big problem. We always shaking out looking for Shanks. Dangerous stuff. See if they know how to handle them. You get an inmate to know how to handle a shank, you got problems. Listen to what God's word said about this word. He said, for the word of God, the preached word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This two-edged sword, this word of God is able to discern your very thoughts, your very deeds, what you may be planning on doing, what you have done. And it'll lay you wide open. It'll lay you wide open. And some folks come to church and they get laid wide open. They get filleted. And that's a good thing. Amen. That's a good thing. That's what the word is designed to do. And when you get filleted wide open and all your evil and sin is revealed, now you can deal with it.
Amen.
Now you can deal with it. See, we don't want to get cut. But the word of God, the preachers of God is always supposed to preach it.
Preach it hard and preach it strong.
Amen.
Listen, how many remember McCurecomb? Some of us old school ones. You get a little cut. They bring out that McCurecomb. That little red bottle with that thing on it. And it burned. And my mother used to say, well, get the McCurecomb. And we had to walk all the way upstairs. And boy, I'd be screaming. McCurecomb. See, that's what the Word of God do. See, when you walk up into the church and you full of sin and you're full of the world, and the Word of God ought to burn you.
Amen.
It's a healing word.
Yes, sir.
It's a healing word. It ought to cause you to think about some of this stuff you doing and some of the things you saying and some of the places you frequenting, and it ought to make you think. It ought to burn a little bit. You ought to leave out of here sometime angry with me. I don't have a problem with it. Just give me a hug in the lobby and try to play it off best you can. I understand. See, the man of God never been popular. It's never been popular to be a preacher or a prophet. See, the prophets of old always preach the word. Listen to what Isaiah 62 and 6 said. And he's talking about preach the word preachers. He said, I've set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent.
Amen.
I don't care who preaching in this pulpit, in this church. They ought to be preaching the Word of God. That's the only requirement. Preaching. Preaching. Nobody turned that off, did I? Preaching. Stand flat footed and preach it.
Amen.
And everybody ain't going to hear you.
Amen.
God didn't call you to grow a big church. He called you to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
He called you to preach the Word of God. Look at Jeremiah 6 and 7. He said, I also set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we will not hearken. Everybody's not going to hear you.
Amen.
Jeremiah didn't have a mega church. Matter of fact, Jeremiah had a very small church.
Amen.
I walked up to Giant Eagle and Liberty and the security guard sitting inside the buggies with his text in his phone. Didn't even know I entered the store.
Amen.
Didn't even know I entered the store, but I shopped for a little while, came out, he was still doing it. Still doing it. Not a good watchman.
No.
Now they have another guy up there, the brother that work at Liberty. Some of y'all then maybe freak with Liberty. Now he see you coming in. How you doing? He paying attention to everything going around.
Amen.
Now this was a little heavyset guy, a little heavyset white guy, and he was sitting between the buggies just texting away.
Right.
And I'm like, this dude didn't even look up. He didn't know I was here. See, Isaiah had a word for him because we got a whole lot of folks, and God is supposed to be like that. Look at Isaiah. He's talking about preachers. He's talking about blind preachers and watchmen. See, I watch everything come in this church. If I'm in Sam's Club, I watch everything around me. I know everybody in the store. I'm just geared up like that. I used to tell Sydney, when you walking through Walmart parking lot, don't be walking all slow. Put some pep in your step. Because see, these crackheads and stuff is looking for somebody vulnerable.
Yeah.
You walking all, get out of the car, bent up, get out of that car, don't get out till you straighten up. Dragging through the parking lot of Walmart, that's a dangerous thing. I'm helping somebody. You get out of that car, you better get out of that car like you look around and pay attention, because we live in that kind of world.
Yeah.
Well, see, In Isaiah, when Isaiah got the word, remember Isaiah got the word, he seen Jesus Christ in the temple. How did he see him? High and lifted up. Bible says train filled the temple. And he said, woe is me, for I am a man undone, unclean lips. And then God said, well, I'm going to clean you up. And he's sitting that cherubim over there and touched his lips. Hot, cold, burned, all that dross off. And then they said, I'm looking for a man, Isaiah, to go out and preach the word. And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. And he sent him out. And Isaiah preached and preached and preached. And Fox's Book of Martyrs says Isaiah was sawn in half. He was sawn in half. But in Isaiah 56:10, he talks about preachers. Prophets of that day. Listen what he says. He said, and all ye beasts of the field come to devour ye, all ye beasts in the forest. Why? Why have they came to the house of God? They come to the house of God to devour the house of God. And we have this going on today. But look what Isaiah says about his watchmen. The watchmen of the house of God. See, we need some watchmen. See, everybody can't always be in the sanctuary. Sometimes you have to get up and walk out in the hallway. Look around. See what's going on. Check the parking lot. How many know? Some of you new members here. Some of you new members here. We got young people. I just keep it real with you. You go online, go to the sheriff's office website and punch it up. Within 2 miles of this place, there is close to 60 sexual predators. Within 2 miles of this place. Okay? So Brother David and Justin and Brother Luke, when things start happening in the summertime, the kids be outside playing, you need to step outside.
Amen.
Look around.
Amen.
I tell Ray all the time, I say, Ray, you ought to know every car in the parking lot. We seen a red Cavalier. I said, is that Sylvia? I said, you ought to know her license plate number. She hears so much.
Amen.
But we're not bringing up our children to pay attention. To pay attention. When we have watchmen in the church, look what he says about his watchmen. This can't be called of us. Listen, his watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. He's talking about the prophets. They are blind. They are ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, and loving to slumber. These are the people who were supposed to be proclaiming God's word. And this is what they were doing. Now that word dumb means they couldn't hear.
Amen.
Now anybody who knows dogs, and I don't, but Jill it probably does. But if you have a dog that can't hear, he's not going to be a very good watchdog. He's not going to be a very good watchdog. This is what he says. They are greedy dogs, verse 11. And they never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their very own way. Every one of them for his gain. How about that? For his gain. From this quarter. Needs a watchman. This one. This is interesting. I'm almost done. Thank you. Thank you, sister.
We'll
get you a flavored water. Listen, this happened last week. It went viral. And after it went viral, they called the church, and the church said, oh, that was just a prank. I don't believe it was a prank. I don't believe it was. If it was a prank, it was a real bad one, too. Here's what happened. Pastor Tim Christensen leads the flock at Gold Hill Lutheran Church in Montana. Pastor Christensen is also a huge 49ers fan. In the 49ers playoff game on Sunday, directly conflict with the normally scheduled church service. So Pastor Christensen took matters into his own hands and performed the preaching equivalent of a hurry-up offense. Now, I know something about this because I was at a church once and the pastor had tickets to a Browns game that started at 1 o'clock. If you go into a Browns game that starts at 1 o'clock, you need to be leaving about 11:30.
Yeah.
And he came to church dressed in his, it was a winter game, so he had all these big puffy, them big puffy suits and everything. And, you know, and he was like, I got to get going. Here's what happened. Pastor, and he's getting ready to preach this sermon. It was a minute long. He says, would you like to be forgiven of your sins? As he's talking to the congregation. Congregation, yes. Pastor, okay, that's great. Today's message was supposed to be about wine and servanthood. Talking about the communion. But you know all about that, right? Congregation, yes. Pastor, there's bread and wine on the table. Feel free to help yourself. Go in peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Then he followed with a not quite holy, pretty, inspired Kaepernick style bicep kiss. Y'all seen Kaepernick do the bicep kiss with two football players. And the church was open. And he left. Those are the type of prophets that Jesus was talking about. Feeble. How many ever heard this scripture here? Romans 10:17 or 10:15. How many know what this one really means? I want you to think about it for a minute too. So Romans 10:15 says, How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How many know, understand what that means? That doesn't mean that the preacher is taking his shoes off and say, I got pretty feet. What God is saying about this pastor or this preacher, he said that these guys are set. The feet represent a firm foundation. They're going to be unmovable and they're going to preach the gospel message of salvation. And you're going to hear it and you're going to hear it and you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. So with all that said, what happens? What happens when you're determined preach God's word? How many remember the story of the lepers? How many know why a leper was put into a leper colony? They were unclean. And when they had leprosy, they were taken away from their families. They were taken away from their loved ones. They were put into a leper colony. And they weren't allowed to come into contact with people. See, the word of God is a cleansing word. The word of God prevents leprosy from planting itself in the church. If the word of God is not preached, all types. Now everybody's welcome. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's welcome. But the word of God, if it's preached in its totality, if it's preached as it's to be preached, everybody's not going to stay.
Amen.
See, what we have today is that we're not going to preach it because we want everybody to stay.
Amen.
And what has happened is because we've allowed everything and anything to stay into the church, and the church has become infected.
Amen.
It has become infected.
Amen.
And we do the same things in our homes. And this is why Jesus is saying here in verse number 36, and man's foe shall be they of his own household. We allow infected family members to remain in our homes. I've dealt with this with my own child.
Amen.
And you want to come on to your house, and you're in the house of the man of God or the woman of God, and you want to come in the house at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. You want to throw your cigarette butts out on the back porch. You want to drink wine and booze in the man of God's house while he's not there. And when we know that's going on and we stand silent, then we become infected. Then our children become infected. And then the word of God says when we confront those that do that, the word of God says they're going to get upset with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mothers and daughters will fall out. Fathers and son-in-laws will fall out. I remember when I came to the Lord, and my brother, before he was saved, would come over and just, you don't have a beer. You don't have an ashtray. You know, just challenging you. Just challenging you to bend. You see, the world wants us to lower our standard, and the church has lowered its standard. It has lowered its standard in our attempt to grow a large ministry. And Jesus said, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. He said, you lift me up. He said, you lift me up. You preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you continue to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. In Acts 2 and 42 saying God what? Added to the church. Such as should be saved or would be saved. Our job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's it.
Amen.
That is it. That is it. So, what do we do with a message like this?
Jesus, I ain't going to bring peace.
A sword. Expect to get cut. Even if you handle it nice, you're going to get cut every once in a while. It's a two-edged sword. I'm cut up all the time. I was cut up last week listening to Dave. I'm cut up preparing for this. I'm dealing with some of this stuff. But God is still good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I hope somebody was cut today.
Amen.
I hope somebody understands that this is serious business.
Amen.
And you join a church. You join a church because you're saved.
Amen.
And you join a church because you want to serve God. And you want to serve God. And you want to see the church of God make a difference in the world. And then you also know that if you join the church, if you have a testimony that you're a Christian, and that testimony goes with you everywhere you go. And you can do much damage by claiming to be a Christian and not living it. And it's so hard. It's so hard for some of us to go out and evangelize because of some of the folks that have went ahead of us. And some of the stuff that folks see on TV anymore has caused a lot of problems for the church because it's not all real. And we have to be mindful of that as we call ourselves Christians. And one minute we're calling ourselves Christians, and another minute we're cussing somebody out. And we call ourselves Christians, and the next minute we're found asleep on the job. Or we get patted down leaving the building, we got all the pencils in the envelopes.